That will usher in some significantly cooler air. Low 80s for a high by the time Tuesday and Wednesday get here. Lows at night around 60. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
CB&S Bank, formerly Prime South Bank, is excited to be part of your neighborhood. CB&S Bank is a community bank with 113 years of being committed to the communities they serve. Come see the people you know and trust in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, Pike Road, and Birmingham. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. Montgomery police are still looking for a second suspect involved in an altercation with an officer. The officer is okay after shots were fired during that scuffle at Sam's Club on Eastern Boulevard. Police say the officer first approached the suspect as they were trying to steal merchandise from the store. The Alabama Department of Public Health has confirmed the state's first vaping-related death. They have only said that a man in East Alabama died. This recent death now adds to the 12 other confirmed vaping-related deaths in 10 other states. And it took just 5 minutes for Lead Academy's board to meet last night and terminate Dr. Nicole Ivey, the charter school's first principal. School officials say the search for a replacement begins immediately. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
A new era of SmackDown begins on Fox. Hulk Hogan, Roman Reigns, The Undertaker, Becky Lynch, and Stone Cold Steve Austin celebrate 20 years of SmackDown.
Go crazy in this right there.
The greatest live event in entertainment.
Friday Night SmackDown, 20th anniversary, premieres tomorrow on Fox.
Tomorrow on Fox 20.
Trustworthy, accurate, carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
President Trump repeatedly involved the Vice President, Mike Pence, in efforts to pressure the new president of Ukraine.
A rare chance to fly aboard a World War II-era bomber ended in a fiery disaster for sightseers aboard a vintage plane in Connecticut.
Can I give her a hug, please?
A powerful moment in court as the brother of Amber Guyger's victim forgave her and asked for an embrace.
Senator Bernie Sanders hospitalized for a heart procedure.
Doctors discovering a blockage in one artery, inserting two stents.
In leaked audio published by The Verge, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg told employees what he thinks an Elizabeth Warren presidency would mean for the company.
I would bet that we will have a legal challenge, and I would bet that we will win the legal challenge. Does that still suck for us? Yeah, I mean, I don't have to, you know, have a major lawsuit against our own government.
The Fresh Prince, Will Smith anyway, used the 90s sitcom to inspire a new clothing line.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Thursday. Thumbs up Thursday, but it's Name Game Thursday.
Indeed, name game time. Derek Jackson. Derek Jackson, you need to call 396-5477. Derek Jackson, call 396-5477 within the hour for your chance to qualify to win a one-hour relaxation massage with aromatherapy courtesy of Smart Skin Med Spa and Salon. It's a great gift because it's not just one. It's one a month for a year. So, man. I mean, what a prize. So, Derek Jackson, if you want this massage package, 396-5477, that's the number to call within the hour.
Let's go back to Papa B, Papa B, Papa B. Thanks for hanging on for me.
Oh, my pleasure. I've got a nice little ride in front of me anyway. So, you know, my question, I just question the Democrats' real sincerity here, since they have not really, they say they formally launched impeachment inquiry, but it's not really a launch of an inquiry either. It's like this head fake chuck and jive that they've got going on. It's not sincere. So I'm just wondering, do you really think they're going to get to an actual impeachment vote, or anywhere close to it?
That's a great question, and that kind of gets broached in, excuse me, that was... Laura Ingraham was discussing that with Ken Starr. I think for political purposes, what her deal is, if you guys will get the vote, once we've got enough for a vote, then we'll bring a vote to the floor. I don't think they have the vote right now in the House.
So I don't either. And, you know, this... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I mean, well, and see, this is what I just love about Donald Trump. Just about any other Republican would be hiding in his closet in a fetal position.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
Donald Trump, he fights back, and he points out the idiocy of the left and the, you know, duplicity of the left and absolute falsehood that they throw out there. You know, and that's what I just love about it. And, you know, that's what I think the never-Trumpers, the, you know, rhino Republicans, they never did get the idea that, hey, these folks are really out after you. They don't like you. They might say, you know, get along, but they really aren't. And, you know, they're out for total domination. Well, you've got to be able to fight back a little bit. And so here's my take on the whole thing. As President, Donald Trump has a responsibility to find out if there is any corruption. And the fact that he was looking for it, you know, in any way that he possibly could is just, hey, that's the job. That's what he was elected for. He was elected to drain the swamp. Okay, but the difference is between what he did and what Biden did is, you know, Biden was actually, he was actually involved in an extortion. Okay? He was sitting there, they admits it. And, you know, Rudy Giuliani did a much better job, I think, last night, really calmly, more calmly, pointing out some of these facts on some of the shows that he was on. I think before he was kind of hyperbolic, exercise about it, and he should be, he has every right to be, but I think he did a much better job in pointing these kinds of things out. And before it's over with, it looks to me like, hey, we're going to really see here what happens. The deep state is hearing somebody coming down the hall with the handcuffs, and so they're panicking and trying to, you know, contrive all these instances against Trump. Hey, with even members of Congress like Schiff or Schiff's office, you know, they're trying to stir something else up, get something else going. And, you know, that's a little operation going on there.
Yeah, my first take is always that the whenever I see things happening, there's a reason it's happening, and the reason is they're getting concerned about what's going to go on with the IG report, Durham report, and I think they're worried about the Rudy Giuliani thing. I think that's probably more timing of why they try to move this faster to try to discredit that.
What do you mean by that?
Well,
Rudy Giuliani.
In other words, the thing, the storyline is Ukraine. And the guy who's got all the Ukraine stuff is Rudy Giuliani. So if they make it, if they go, well, you can't go and investigate that because that's your opponent, then they're trying to inoculate. But if Rudy gets, if he throws these flounders out on the table, I mean, from what he said, what he said is true, and he's given some of the documents over to Fox, and Fox has said what they said is true, then we'll see what happens here.
Well, eventually it does even have to be reported, you know, in the mainstream media, eventually. That may not be reported the way thoroughly.
Or accurately.
Or accurately. It might be truncated. But more and more people are understanding that, for instance, Joe Biden and son was a very, very corrupt practice. And he is probably but the first to be outed John Kerry and his son were, and I hadn't heard much from, that group lately either. There were others involved. It gets kind of thick down through there, I believe. But you got to start somewhere. And Biden, it looks like, is a low-hanging fruit to me.
Well, as they would say in a movie, this is a target-rich environment.
No doubt about it. All right, guys. Well, War Eagle, Roll Tide. Wait a minute. Does Alabama play this weekend?
Does who play this weekend?
Does Alabama?
No, Alabama has a bye.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, rest easy then.
Well, let me tell you, I will be watching that game and rooting you guys on.
All right, I appreciate it. All right, guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you. New 793.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Thursday, Thumbs Up Thursday. See a police officer, give him a big thumbs up, also known as TGIFE. Any caller can get in on the Squeak Creek Farm Market gift basket drawing. But if you're a first-time caller, your name will be put in twice. We're going to do that drawing tomorrow between 2:30 and 2:40. What's in that gift basket? $60 worth of goodies you put in there from Sweet Creek Farm Market. Okay, let's go to Paula Reed. Talking about Trump anger. Trump anger. Joe did this too.
The president's anger was on full display yesterday. He tweeted a vulgar description of the impeachment inquiry and made a series of insults and false statements to reporters. Paula Reed is at the White House. Paula, what led to this escalation?
The president says he's so used to enduring political turmoil that it's, quote, like putting on a suit in the morning. But that suit got a little hot under the collar yesterday as he lashed out at his two favorite targets, Democrats and the press.
Believe it or not, I watch my words very carefully. There are those that think I'm a very stable genius, okay?
President Trump claimed he will work with Democrats in their investigation of his dealings with the leader of Ukraine.
Well, I always cooperate. This is a hoax.
But his administration has repeatedly stonewalled congressional oversight requests.
This is a fraudulent crime on the American people, but we'll work together with Shifty Shift and Pelosi and all of them.
In a combative press conference, he escalated his attacks on reporters.
Much of the media in this country is not just fake, it's corrupt.
You go tell it, Donald. But notice how they did that anger. And that's what, in Joe Scarborough and Chuck Todd yesterday, spent a whole thing about how authoritarian he is and anger issues. He's obviously panicked that they're closing in on him. I got just the opposite. I didn't get that he's panicked they're closing in on him. I got that he's closing in on them at that press conference yesterday.
Yes.
You just believe all your own BS and see where that gets you. You're going to find out how lost you can get. This second part of Paula Reed here.
But then seized on a New York Times report that the whistleblower met with a member of Congressman Adam Schiff's staff days before the complaint was filed.
I go a step further. I think he probably helped write it.
The whistleblower's attorney disputed the president's characterization of the article, writing, "We can absolutely confirm that the whistleblower drafted the complaint entirely on their own." The president also continued to question the accuracy of the whistleblower's report.
I have a lot of respect for whistleblowers, but only when they're real.
You solemnly swear.
A claim disputed under oath by his own acting director of national intelligence.
The whistleblower's complaint is in alignment with what was released yesterday by the president.
As a befuddled Finnish president looked on, President Trump shut down questions about Ukraine.
What do you or what did you want President Zelensky to do with regard to Joe and Hunter Biden?
Biden and his son are stone cold crooked, and you know it.
The question, sir, was what did you want President Zelensky to do?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, it was just a follow-up of what I just asked you, sir.
Listen, you ready? We have the president of Finland. Ask him a question.
CBS News has learned that the president's attorneys plan to approach this impeachment inquiry the same way they've handled all the other congressional oversight requests this year. They argue that until there is a vote on the floor formalizing this inquiry, they only need to offer minimal cooperation.
And that's exactly what they're going to do. And that's what they're going to say to the public, is until you do a formal vote, then you're not doing an impeachment inquiry. you do a form of vote and we do an impeachment, that's fine. We get to do subpoenas, you do subpoenas, and we kind of go from there. They do not want that. They do not want that, and they don't have the votes either. Let me do this. We've got a couple of breaking stories here. Let me go to a break, and then we'll pick up some of these. We'll be right back.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
Broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
Boo! Guess who? That's right. This is Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, where we make mortgages easy. If your finances are haunting you, it's time to call Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. That's 567-4223. What if I told you that the money you've been looking for all this time is in your home? This is no trick. By refinancing your mortgage, you may be eligible to lower your interest rate or eliminate monthly mortgage insurance. Would you like to pay off credit card debt, make home improvements, or fund a large purchase? A mortgage refinance may be the answer. What are you waiting for? If your current mortgage payment makes you scream, then it's time to call the Alabama Home Mortgage Team. Clear the cobwebs. Call me, Kim Williams, today at 567-4223. Or visit our website at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see just how much money you could be saving with an Alabama Home Mortgage. NMLS 372-374, Equal Housing Lender.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV. Back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That's where we are. We're trying to get some breaking news audio for you guys. But until I get that taken care of here, I need to hit some other subject matters here. Let's see. We got Peter Ducey. Did I send you Peter Ducey?
Not seeing it.
Okay. Let's go to Catherine Herridge. This is last night on shift in the State Department.
The questions being asked tonight of the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge tackling the big one. What did Adam Schiff know? When did he know it?
confirmation that the whistleblower reached out to the Democrat-controlled House Intelligence Committee raises new questions about their motivation and potential political bias.
In a statement to Fox News, Democratic Chairman Adam Schiff's spokesman confirmed, quote, the whistleblower contacted the committee for guidance on how to report possible wrongdoing within the jurisdiction of the intelligence community. Schiff's office deflected Fox's questions on timing, whether the whistleblower contact occurred days or weeks before the complaint was declassified, adding, quote, at no point did the committee review or receive the complaint in advance. Chairman Schiff does not know the identity of the whistleblower and has not met with or spoken with the whistleblower or their counsel. At a previously scheduled news conference, the president, who got the story as it broke, unloaded on the Democratic chairman.
I give a lot of respect for the New York Times for putting it out. Just happened as I'm walking up here, they handed it to me. That's a big story. He knew long before, and he helped write it, too. It's a scam.
Earlier in the day, before the Schiff whistleblower connection was known, the Democratic chairman of the House Intelligence Committee and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the president's own words are proof of wrongdoing. They again pointed to the transcript of his call with the Ukrainian leader, where Mr. Trump asked Zelensky to investigate alleged corruption involving Joe Biden and his son.
It's unworthy of the Constitution of the United States to do what he did in that call. And he admitted to me, said it's perfect. No, it's not perfect. It's wrong.
With Democrats requesting more Ukraine records and threatening White House subpoenas, Schiff said he expects blocks.
So we'll have to decide whether to litigate or how to litigate. We're not fooling around here, though.
Behind closed doors in a secure facility, the State Department watchdog Steve Linick met congressional staffers offering what was characterized as a, quote, urgent briefing on Ukraine, after one Democrat described curious documents.
This packet of information is simply meant to advance the conspiracy theory that Mueller's finding that there was a sweeping and systematic campaign by Russia to interfere in our election was specious and fallacious.
On Thursday, the administration's former special envoy to Ukraine, Kirk Volker, who resigned after his name surfaced in the whistleblower complaint, sits for a transcribed interview with House investigators. Republicans accused Democrats of searching for a crime.
They've been trying to impeach him literally from the day he was elected. They know the transcript is not enough.
Fox News asked the whistleblower's legal team if there was a single contact or multiples. They told us their client officially filed their concerns in August, adding, quote, there was no contact between the legal team and Congress until nearly a month after the whistleblower complaint was submitted to the intelligence community's inspector general.
And the envoy is just finished testifying. He's doing three series. So now she's going to prep it up for the Volker testimony. Listen in.
Right behind me is the SCIF, or secure facility, where Volker is giving this transcribed interview. It's not strictly testimony, but there are still penalties that attach if the witness either lies or misleads House investigators in the course of that interview. Volker was a special envoy to the Ukraine. His job was to help Ukraine and to also help end the war in the eastern part of the country that was started by Russia. The reason we're so interested in him right now is that he comes up in the whistleblower complaint, and he resigned shortly after the complaint was public. In the complaint, the allegation is that Volker was tasked with essentially corralling the president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, and navigating this request from the president to the Ukrainians to look into Joe Biden and his son. But Rudy Giuliani has provided a text message to reporters from July 19th, so that's six days before the phone call between the president and the Ukrainian leader. And he says that shows that Volker was more than happy to assist him in his independent investigation. The Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, is traveling overseas. He says his people can coordinate and help Congress, but he also drew a line.
We will, of course, do our constitutional duty to cooperate with this co-equal branch, but we are going to do so in a way that is consistent with the fundamental values of the American system, and we won't tolerate folks on Capitol Hill bullying, intimidating State Department employees. That's unacceptable, and it's not something that I'm going to permit to happen.
On the contact between the whistleblower and the Democrat-led House Intelligence Committee, frankly, reporters had a lot of heavily lawyered paper thrown at them yesterday over this issue, and the bottom line is that the whistleblower reached out to the Democrat-controlled committee before the August 12th complaint was filed. And that timing is important because that's about a month before Chairman Schiff was very public about these broad allegations that related to the whistleblower, and also puts new scrutiny on a text message from the Chairman Schiff at the end of August where he talks about the withholding of military aid to Ukraine, and then he also talks about the president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani. And when you read that text, it really essentially mirrors the whistleblower complaint that is now declassified. I think we all remember what happened yesterday at the White House, almost in real time as the New York Times broke this story, and then the president unloaded on the Democratic chairman.
It shows that Schiff is a fraud. I think it's a scandal that he knew before. I go a step further. I think he probably helped write it. Okay?
So the question that Fox News put to the Democrat committee and then also to the whistleblower's attorney is whether there was a single contact or multiple contacts since August, because that goes to the issue of coordination. And frankly, we were not able to get a straight answer from either the legal team or from the committee. But on this allegation from the president that Chairman Schiff wrote that complaint, what they told us very specifically on the record is that Congressman Schiff had nothing to do with the drafting of the complaint. But what you can see here is that this contact, this outreach from the whistleblower in August, has created a whole new front in this impeachment debate bill.
We're going to go to a break, come back with a third piece from Catherine Herridge that is on this envoy, some very important information and potentially damning information. We're going to be right back.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Tonight on CBS, evil is the new drama dozens of critics have two words for. Must watch.
Wow.
What do you want from me?
It's masterful. The show you have to see. It's the best thing out there this season.
So, what are we watching?
A new episode of Evil. After a night of all-new comedy, tonight only CBS.
Hi, folks. This is Rick Clark with Clark Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. I'd like to take just a minute to talk to you about our experience with Blue Water Broadcast. One of the hot topics in our staff meetings is spending advertising dollars. If your company or firm is anything like Clark Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, those dollars are limited, so you have to spend them wisely. That's why we choose Blue Water Broadcasting. Our marketing analysis has proven consistently that spending advertising dollars with Blue Water Broadcasting has contributed significantly to our bottom line. And for that, Clark Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing is truly grateful. So, if you want to spend your advertising dollars wisely, choose Blue Water Broadcasting and see the difference.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
Fox News, I'm Steve Rappaport. Former U.S. envoy to Ukraine Kurt Volker testifying before a House committee as part of the impeachment inquiry against President Trump.
Volker matters because he's really at that pivot point, the nexus between all the major players and the fallout of the July 25th phone call between the president and the Ukrainian leader. So the president, the Ukrainian leadership, the State Department, as well as Rudy Giuliani.
Fox's Catherine Herridge, the president denies any wrongdoing. MGM Resorts International agreeing to pay up to $800 million to settle lawsuits from the Las Vegas mass shooting 2 years ago.
MGM Resorts CEO Jim Murren says they hope this agreement means prolonged litigation has been avoided. Law enforcement says Stephen Paddock killed 58 people at the Route 91 Harvest Festival from his Mandalay Bay hotel room before killing himself.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. America is listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by Blue Haven Pools. Building and designing an amazing new smart pool is just a click away. Learn more about smart pools that are virtually chemical-free by visiting bluehaven.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Some nice fall air is just a few days away, but not right away. Today's high, upper 90s to near 100. Upper 90s again tomorrow. Record highs expected again, both today and tomorrow. Rain chances not zero. Maybe a couple of showers on the radar. Rain chances generally 20% or less both days. Saturday's high, 95. Sunday's high, 91. Rain chances tiny, under 20% Saturday. And widely scattered storms on Sunday. Then Monday and Monday night. Scattered showers and thunderstorms ahead of a cool front moving through the state. That will usher in some significantly cooler air. Low 80s for high by the time Tuesday and Wednesday get here, lows at night around 60. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
When you're shopping for a new car, truck, or SUV, getting a great rate shouldn't be a problem. ASE Credit Union makes auto loans easy with rates as low as 3.5% APR. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV. Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1, WACV.
.279-228, that's where we are. A little bit of choking over here. Happens every once in a while.
Wake up, kids. We got the dreamer's disease. Age 14, they got you down on your knees.
Now we have the third piece of Catherine Harris. This whole thing just happened about 35 minutes ago. We would have gotten on faster if I could have downloaded it quicker here, but I couldn't. So I want you to listen to this piece and we'll talk about it.
First to Catherine Herridge on Capitol Hill, where things are going down. Catherine.
Well, they are. Sandra, good morning. Volker has been behind closed doors in a secure facility behind me for about 2 hours doing this transcribed interview. I've had a lot of questions this morning over whether it makes a difference if he's under oath or he isn't. And the bottom line is that if you mislead or lie to congressional investigators in the course of a transcribed interview, you face very severe penalties. I also just got off the phone with the president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, who's making an effort to clarify the timeline in this critical period, which is the spring. He said that on March 28th, he finished his investigation or research into the Bidens in Ukraine, and he told me he provided that information to the State Department. He also emphasized that this was about 3 weeks before Joe Biden officially announced that he would seek the Democratic Party's nomination. In the course of our conversation, Giuliani also emphasized that it was Volker who reached out to him, and then he also provided a series of text messages. The most significant text message is from July 26th, and the timing matters because that is one day after the president's phone call with the Ukrainian leader, and it reads, "Hi, Mr. Mayor," so from Volker to Giuliani, "you may have heard the president has a great call with the Ukrainian president yesterday. Exactly the right messages as we discussed." So at least based on that text, Volker was not expressing any reservations about the content or the context of the president's phone call. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has been traveling overseas, and he told reporters that his people at the State Department would work with Congress, but he also drew a line.
"We will, of course, do our constitutional duty to cooperate with this co-equal branch. But we are going to do so in a way that is consistent with the fundamental values of the American system. And we won't tolerate folks on Capitol Hill bullying, intimidating State Department employees. That's unacceptable. And it's not something that I'm going to permit to happen."
We had confirmation yesterday here on Capitol Hill that the whistleblower approached the Democratic-led House Intelligence Committee before he or she officially filed the complaint in mid-August. And that timeline matters because it means that the Democratic chairman at least had some outline of the complaint about a month before he started publicly talking about the whistleblower. And that brings new scrutiny to a text message that Congressman Schiff sent at the end of August, where he talks about the withholding of Ukrainian aid and then specifically makes a reference to the work that Rudy Giuliani had been doing in Ukraine. And that on its face really is quite a mirror image of some of the central allegations in the whistleblower complaint. After the New York Times first broke this story yesterday, the president at that news conference unloaded on the Democratic chairman.
It shows that Schiff is a fraud. I think it's a scandal that he knew before. I go a step further. I think he probably helped write it. Okay?
We received this very lengthy statement from the congressman's office yesterday. And one of the key issues, they say, is that he had no contact, did not meet with the whistleblower. And they go on to rebut or respond to the president's claim there. They say Congressman Schiff had nothing to do with the drafting of the complaint. The bottom line from my conversations with the Democrat-led committee, as well as the lawyers for the whistleblower, is that I asked them repeatedly whether there was a single contact or there were multiple contacts, and that matters because multiple contacts go to this issue of coordination, and frankly, neither party could provide a straight answer to me, Sandra.
All right, Catherine Herridge, thank you.
Okay, so we had that report in. Joey's going to read for you a something that just came out from ABC News.
The headline is a quote, "Crazy to withhold security aid to Ukraine for political campaign, top U.S. diplomat." In newly disclosed text messages shared with Congress, the top U.S. diplomat to Ukraine at the time writes to a group of other American diplomats that, quote, "I think it is crazy to withhold security assistance for the help with a political campaign." The exchange, provided by former U.S. Special Envoy to Ukraine Kurt Volker as part of his closed-door deposition before multiple House committees Thursday, shows that what appears to be encrypted text messages he exchanged with two other American diplomats in September regarding aid money President Donald Trump ordered to be held back from Ukraine. In the exchange obtained by ABC News, the concerns are expressed by Bill Taylor, the top U.S. diplomat to Ukraine. Gordon Sondland, the United States ambassador to the European Union, responds to Taylor saying the charge is incorrect, insisting the president has been crystal clear, no quid pro quo of any kind. Sondland then suggests to the group, take the conversation offline, typing, "I suggest we stop the back and forth by text." It's unclear if the conversation continues based on the material obtained by ABC News. Sondland, a hotelier and Republican mega donor, contributed over $1 million to the president's inaugural committee before eventually being nominated and confirmed to the top role as a United States representative to the European Union. Taylor is a career foreign service officer who has served as the top diplomat in Kiev since May when Ambassador Ivanovich had been smeared by President Trump's personal attorney Rudy Giuliani for months as blocking Ukrainian investigators into corruption, an allegation the State Department at the time called an outright fabrication that, quote, does not correspond to reality. But Trump referred to Ivanovich as bad news in his controversial July 25th call with Ukraine's President Zelensky. The text came just days before the White House released the military assistance to Ukraine, almost $400 million from the State Department and Pentagon, meant to boost the U.S. partner against Russian aggression. Sondland has been the U.S. envoy to the European Union since July 2018. He assisted Giuliani's efforts to contact Ukrainian officials about an investigation, according to Giuliani, who says he briefed Sondland and Volker after his meetings. Volker resigned last Friday as the special envoy for Ukraine. The State Department has confirmed that Volker put Giuliani in touch with Zelensky's aides at their request.
Okay, friend, at the very beginning of the article, the timeline on this thing was April, correct?
Okay, right, right.
Okay, so the conversation and the withholding that they say was withholding was from the July time frame. Now, what I'm already have noticed that the media is doing is they're patchworking and they're saying, see, Donald Trump did withhold funds for political reasons.
Because one diplomat suggested it in a text.
But see, this is September. They're going to conflate September and the July time frame together, I promise you. That's going to be the big story here. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Red Top. Red Top, welcome aboard the Damar Show.
Thank you, gentlemen. You know, this is just part of the incomplete news that we get every night. I was watching very much last night, just like what you were, and how much news they leave out, and they leave out.
They leave out a ton. And what they do, if you notice, anytime they're talking about Biden, they say, and there's no evidence. But then when they're talking Trump, you can be talking secondhand, third-hand knowledge, and it's just a fact, such as the alligators in a moat.
Right, and all these broad assumptions they come to and state as fact. this shows the state of panic the Democrat Party's in, and even more is not fit for election. That's very obvious, and he wasn't fit anyway. But now he's pretty much out of it, I think. You know, with as little as the Democrats have to offer.
I'm sorry, who's out of it? Biden?
Oh, no, Bernie.
Oh, Bernie. Yeah, we're going to get to the Bernie story in a second.
Yeah, he's too sick. He ain't going to make it. And he needs to quit before he kills himself. That would be a shame. Somebody just die of a heart attack on the campaign trail to try to win an election they're never going to win. And just very quickly, just think of all the abuse Donald Trump's children have gone through. How many times they have testified before Congress, committees, the Mueller report, depositions. Is there been one subpoena or deposition from Hunter Biden, anybody even asking him to speak? Has he spoken in one word? Is he still alive?
Yeah. They're putting out an APB for him.
So, the boy, as far as I know, he's not alive. He died with his brother. I ain't seen him at all, have you?
Ooh, no, we haven't. We haven't seen him.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. How come he's not before Congress testifying?
Because Congress didn't want to hear that.
No. And I do believe that my favorite statement by Donald Trump yesterday, she gives out subpoenas like cookies.
No.
This man is less than one. He's one in 10 billion, and we ain't even reached 10 billion on this planet yet. So thank goodness for our wonderful president. He's just an endless source of inspiration and entertainment. We are so damn lucky. Roll Tide, go Trump. Go Tigers! Y'all beat them Gators.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we want the best Auburn team possible to play the best Alabama team possible.
Yes, because we're going to have us an Air Force war when it comes to the Auburn-Alabama game. I'll tell you again, it's going to be nothing but balls in the air all day long.
There you go. Red Top, you have a great day, my friend.
Thank you.
NewsHour 93.1 FM, Dan Marsh Show on a Thursday, Thumbs Up Thursday. Any caller can get in on Sweet Creek Farm Market Gift Basket. And then if you're a first-time caller, your name goes in twice. Okay, so let me hit some other topics here. I can't believe I didn't get you the Peter Ducey story. What happened there?
I don't know.
I'm slipping, big guy. Let's listen to John Solomon talking about the description of the press. Listen to this.
Investigative reporter John Solomon exposing your fake fraudulent media's Ukraine failures, outright falsehoods. Now, for example, we start with this time it's Katie Turr, whoever she is, claiming that the story that the Democratic Party tried to enlist the Ukraine embassy to dig up dirt on Trump is Russia propaganda.
He talked about investigating Ukrainian meddling in the 2016 election, which has been documented that they meddled in the 2016 election. A DNC operative
met
Russian in the
Ukrainian
embassy.
That's Russian propaganda, Mark.
It's actually in Politico, as reported by Ken Vogel, works for the New York Times
Mark
now.
Propaganda. John Solomon joins us now. John, you have a whole list of outright lies they're telling the American people. Let's go through them.
Yeah, so the first one is that one. There is on-the-record evidence from the Ukraine embassy. In April of this year, the Ukraine ambassador said on the record to me, yes, the Democratic National Committee contractor, Alexander Chalupa, did ask my embassy to get dirt on Paul Manafort and to Donald Trump in hopes of creating an investigation in Congress in the fall of 2016 to embarrass Donald Trump. And she asked the embassy to try to arrange so that an investigative reporter working on dirt on Donald Trump could interview the president about Paul Manafort. That is a request of a foreign government to try to interfere in our election. So that story, the Katie Tier's comments, not true. Not true at all.
And, I mean, she sat there and said to the guy, that's Russian propaganda. He said, no, this was in Politico.
Right.
And see, that is why I hate when these folks do it. If it's Nicole Wallace, if it's any of these standards that you have on MSNBC and also on NBC, that's what they do.
Well, and back to the breaking news, I'm looking over this article carefully again, and the text messages were exchanged in September.
Right.
So July is the phone call. The text is a couple days before all this aid money is released in September.
Let's continue on here with John Solomon.
About the evidence Ukraine meddled in our election. They say, no, that didn't happen. Did that happen?
Yeah, it did. A Ukrainian court has ruled in December of last year that a senior law enforcement official and a parliamentary member intentionally leaked documents about Paul Manafort and Donald Trump in an effort to intervene in the U.S. election. That is an official ruling of a Ukrainian court.
Okay, what about the claim that Joe Biden forced the firing of Ukraine's chief prosecutor, Viktor Shokin? You're one of five people, now Rudy Giuliani, the fifth one tonight, that having interviewed Viktor Shokin, and, you know, that Shokin's office was no longer investigating Burisma Holding Gas Company that was paying Biden with no experience, that was no longer happening. That's a lie, too, isn't it?
It is. The lie is that at the time Biden forced Shokin's firing, there was no Ukrainian investigation of Hunter Biden's company, Burisma. Not true. I have the prosecutorial file. It was active. I have the emails of the Burisma team negotiating with the prosecutor's office the very day that Shokin was fired. I have Burisma's timeline acknowledging they didn't get the case settled until September 2016 and January 2017, 6 to 9 months after Biden did the firing. This one is a whopper. It is irrefutably wrong, and yet it keeps getting repeated by the media.
That one's for Pete. I put that one in there for Pete. You can go to John Solomon's page. You can go to John Solomon's website, and you can see that timeline. And then he's got the coordinating documents for each piece of it. Hey, we do our homework here.
Indeed.
Let's get in the last cut from John Solomon, then we'll get into the Bernie Sanders. I sent you a clip.
What about the lie that the mob and the media is saying there's no evidence that Joe Biden's firing of Shokin had anything to do with Burisma Holdings that's paying his son a fortune? A little dumb on the surface, but they're claiming, no, that's a conspiracy theory, John.
That's right. Yeah, well, look at Mr. Shokin's affidavit. He states flatly, I was in the process of preparing to interview Hunter Biden when I was fired, and I was told I was fired because Joe Biden was unhappy I had not dropped the Burisma investigation. That's from a man who has firsthand knowledge. But there's more than just that. We know at the very moment Joe Biden was effectuating this firing of this prosecutor, Hunter Biden's legal team, the American lawyers working with Burisma, were at the doorstep of the new prosecutor, the prosecutor coming in as a replacement, saying, we need to meet with you. There was a dirty trick carried out. We got the other guy fired, but we want to make this case go away and solve this whole issue. If there was no connection between the two, why were they there making a contact the day that Joe Biden effectuated the firing? That story doesn't hold up to the facts.
Well, they say Joe Biden didn't do anything illegal or unethical. Why do I think they'd have a different view if it was Don Jr. and Donald Trump vice president, although he wouldn't like the demotion?
Let's just look at what the Federal Ethics Code says. It says all U.S. government employees must avoid not only a conflict of interest, but the appearance of a conflict of interest. And we now know from the reporting of the Washington Post that there were advisors inside Joe Biden's team that were warning the president that his conduct involving Ukraine and his son's involvement in this case created the appearance of a conflict of interest.
News Channel 93.1, final segment coming up right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Smash a Mercedes Benz. First we run and then we laugh.
carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hey, y'all. Lewis at the Capitol Oyster Bar down here on that beautiful Alabama River. Let's talk about the river. You know, we're right up the river from downtown. And what we got for you down here to have a good time is we rent out pontoon boats. That's right. You can come down here and rent a pontoon boat with your crew, your family. All you need is a driver's license and a credit card. We can hook you up with essentials and everything you need. So that's a good time on the river. And let's talk about Sunday afternoon. Another good time this week. We're excited. Chris O'Leary Band's in town. First time Chris and his gang have been to the Oyster Bar, so looking forward to some good old blues from Chris and his band. We'll talk about something good to eat, y'all. We're always cooking up something from the steamer, those snow crab legs, royal red shrimp, shrimp from Argentina, crab claws. We can fry those crab claws and fried shrimp, oysters, scallops. I know you're getting hungry. How about a little gumbo appetizer? So we'll cook you up something good to eat. Get Miss Marsha to cook up some of that crawfish mac and cheese. That's some good eating, too. So check it all out, CapitalOysterBar.com. Music menu, food menu, and a good time had at all times. Come see us soon.
Join News Talk 93.1 on the midway of the Alabama National Fair, October 4th through the 14th. Win free prizes. Meet the on-air personalities. See you at the Alabama National Fair, where News Talk 93.1.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
TGIF Eve, getting ready for the Atlanta Braves game. So looking forward to that. Chili dog, queso, salsa, chips, cheese, sauerkraut, pickles. Oh, man, it doesn't get any better than this. Guys, we're running out of time, so I'm going to go to Ed O'Keefe. Interesting, this is Ed O'Keefe from CBS going to be talking about Bernie Sanders' health scare. Does it raise questions?
Senator Bernie Sanders says he's feeling good after an emergency heart procedure, but his race for the Democratic presidential nomination is on hold. The 78-year-old thanked the medical team that treated him for a blocked artery. Sanders also used the episode to highlight his campaign promise of Medicare for all. Ed O'Keefe is covering campaign 2020. Ed, how could this affect Sanders' efforts?
Hey, Tony, it's, you know, a little too soon to say, but this health scare comes at a critical moment for Sanders. He raised more than $25 million in the most recent fundraising quarter, a big sum, but he's sliding in most polls into third place. Now, his supporters and rivals wait to see how long he'll be off the campaign trail.
Give me your chair up here for a moment. I'm going to sit down here. It's been a long day here.
A day after complaining of chest pains at a fundraiser in Las Vegas, Senator Bernie Sanders tweeted, "I'm feeling good." He was hospitalized Tuesday night for a common heart procedure. His campaign says he was found to have a blockage in one artery and two stents were successfully inserted to help improve blood flow. Fellow Democratic candidates quickly sent well wishes.
Sanders is out there fighting from the heart for what he believes in, and he'll be back doing that again very soon.
Okay.
Fighting from the heart.
Fighting from the heart. It's... Elizabeth Warren sends her best wishes to Elizabeth Warren's healthy #.com. It's I thought it was interesting the video that they picked up. He's actually talking. He stops and says, "Give me a chair," and you can tell he kind of holds onto his chest a little bit. And before that, he's walking around and he's got this kind of stare off in the distance look, which is a telltale sign that you're not getting enough blood to the system. Let's listen to the second part of this.
The three top polling Democratic candidates are in their 70s, and Sanders is the oldest at 78. President Trump is 73. Back in April, we asked Sanders if age is a concern.
What about your own health? Is there anything as you get older that you worry about?
Thank God I'm knocking on something here, but it should be wood. No one ever knows what happens to you, to me, anybody tomorrow, but I'm healthy. Feeling pretty good.
Recovery from this procedure depends on the patient's overall health, says CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook.
Prognosis depends on a number of factors, including was there damage to the heart muscle itself? Is there an irregular heartbeat? How well is the heart pumping? But if everything is fine and he has no other medical problems and he hasn't had a heart attack, then he should be able to hit the campaign trail in the not-too-distant future.
Many unanswered questions remain, especially perhaps how this helps or hurts the senator's chances. Sanders and his aides argued that if his Medicare for All plan is enacted, the stent procedure he underwent would be much more affordable. In sickness and in health, Bernie Sanders always manages to be on message.
He's going back to Medicare for All, guys. Let's try to play at least the first part of Peter Ducey here.
Something Bernie Sanders almost never does at campaign events, sit down. So there were signs that something was not right last night.
Ari, can you do me a favor? Well, sorry. Give me your chair up here for a moment. Let me sit down here. It's been a long day here. That chair works.
Sanders experienced chest discomfort after stops at that grassroots fundraiser and a memorial for victims of the Route 91 Harvest Festival. So he went to the hospital, where a senior advisor says, quote, he was found to have a blockage in one artery and two stents were successfully inserted. That means just 6 weeks after the 78-year-old was swinging for the fences at the Field of Dreams. His campaign was canceling all scheduled events and appearances until further notice, and they're postponing $1.3 million worth of TV time to air an ad that just started running yesterday.
Bernie Sanders, fighting to raise wages for American workers, leading the fight to guarantee health care for all.
The last few days have looked normal for Sanders. A rally Monday.
If it's not Trump, we're going to beat Mike Pence.
And a weekend visit in Vermont from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who tweeted, sending lots of love and solidarity to Bernie Sanders today as he rests and recovers. A lot of people don't understand how crazy hard grassroots campaigning is for organizers and candidates alike. Rest up, friend. We're with you. And so are his primary competitors at the 2020 Presidential Gun Safety Forum, which Sanders had to skip.
I've called, I've texted, and I'll send your best wishes.
We're reaching out to send good wishes that is one tough guy.
Sanders tweeted this afternoon, thanks for all the well wishes. I'm feeling good. None of us know when a medical emergency might affect us, and no one should fear going bankrupt if it occurs. Medicare for all. He's already dealt with stitches after a collision with a shower door and a lingering lost voice, but Bernie Sanders always seems to pride himself on bouncing back fast.
And I understand you took the weekend off from campaigning to...
One day,
okay, that's not the whole weekend.
Sanders keeps an ambitious schedule, which means he had to cancel 7 events just between tomorrow and Friday. And his wife, Jane, made the trip out to Nevada to be by his side. But as best as we can tell, none of the rivals who reached out made it to see him before leaving town.
Peter Ducey is doing a really good job. Compare Peter Ducey's piece to Ed O'Keefe's. Peter Ducey was far and away better. Joey, I want to thank you for a great show.
Good show.
Guys, thank you very much. Be good. Be safe. Be back tomorrow for the TGIF edition of the Dan Marsh Show at 12 o'clock tomorrow. I'm going to keep doing it until I get it right. Greg Budell the Great. He's next. Adios.